Imagine a structure so vast it encircles an entire star, a million-mile-wide ribbon with the surface area of 3 million Earths, spinning to create its own gravity. This is Ringworld, Larry Niven's masterpiece of engineering imagination that has influenced everything from Halo to Elon Musk's space habitation concepts. The novel takes us on an expedition to this marvel through the eyes of Louis Wu, a 200-year-old human explorer who has grown bored with humanity's homogenized culture. What begins as an adventure becomes a meditation on technology, evolution, and the fragility of even the most advanced civilizations. As we journey through this impossible structure, we'll discover that the true wonder isn't just in the engineering. It's in what happens when different species and evolutionary strategies collide with the remnants of a fallen technological utopia. Louis Wu celebrates his 200th birthday by chasing the sunset through Earth's teleportation booths. Despite his extended lifespan, he's profoundly bored with Earth's homogenized culture, where instant travel has erased meaningful cultural distinctions. This ennui makes him receptive when Nessus, a three-legged, two-headed Pearson's puppeteer, appears with an intriguing proposal. The puppeteer shows Louis a hologram of a star encircled by a blue hoop and proposes forming an exploration team, appealing to the adventurer spirit that has driven Louis to take multiple sabbaticals from civilization. An unlikely team assembles: Louis, the human explorer; Nessus, the seemingly cowardly puppeteer; Speaker to Animals, a massive orange-furred kazin whose species once waged wars against humanity; and Tila Brown, a 20-year-old descended from 5 generations of birthright lottery winners. Each represents different evolutionary strategies. Puppeteers evolved extreme caution. Kazinti evolved aggression, tempered by defeats. Humans evolved adaptability. And Tila possibly evolved for luck, though Louis objects that luck isn't a genetic trait. Their diverse perspectives create a microcosm of the novel's themes, forcing each to reconsider assumptions about intelligence, courage, and survival. The team's first revelation comes at an intermediate stop, the puppeteer fleet. They discover that the puppeteers, facing extinction from their civilization's waste heat, purchased advanced technology from mysterious outsiders and relocated their entire planetary system. With a trillion puppeteers, they arrange their homeworld and 4 agricultural planets in a perfect pentagon, a stable formation where 5 worlds orbit each other. When their original sun expanded into a red giant, they added artificial lighting to their farming worlds. Later, when they detected the galactic core explosion, they began their exodus toward intergalactic space. This explains why humans never found the puppeteer homeworld, Louis realizes. We were searching near the wrong types of stars. The puppeteer's migration demonstrates a civilization thinking in geological time frames, anticipating problems millennia in advance. Against this background of stellar engineering, they finally reveal the expedition's purpose: to investigate an artificial ring encircling a star, a structure so immense it dwarfs even the puppeteer's achievements. Aboard their new ship, a transparent General Products hull fitted into a triangular wing christened the Lying Bastard, the team approaches the Ringworld system. From afar, the structure appears as a halo around the G2 star, growing more impressive as they near. The Ringworld is a band 90 million miles in radius and nearly 1 million miles wide, rotating at 770 miles per second to create artificial gravity. Despite its seemingly delicate appearance, it's about 50 feet thick with extraordinary tensile strength. Most puzzling is its ability to block 40% of neutrinos, something no known material can do. Their attempts to contact the Ringworld using various methods yield no response. They discover an abandoned spaceport with idle fusion ramships. As they approach to investigate, disaster strikes. X-ray lasers from automated meteor defenses hit their ship, destroying everything outside the hull and sending them on a collision course with the Ringworld. "We're under attack," Speaker declares, but Louis realizes they've merely triggered automatic defenses. With no propulsion left, they're falling toward the ring while Nessus curls into a catatonic ball, paralyzed by the prospect of death. The lying bastard crashes onto the Ringworld's surface, creating a massive furrow. The crew survives thanks to their stasis field and discover the surface beneath them is a translucent gray material, incredibly slippery and impervious to heat, the ring's foundation material. Upon exiting the ship, Louis climbs to higher ground and finds they've landed in a vast white sand desert. Unlike planetary worlds, the Ringworld has no curved horizon. Land and sky merge at a distant vanishing point. "It's not like a planetary horizon at all," Louis marvels. "The land just keeps going up and up until it vanishes in the distance." As darkness falls suddenly from passing shadow squares, they witness an extraordinary sight, an enormous arch taking shape against the darkening sky, the Ringworld overhead. The arch narrows as it rises, striped in baby blue with white clouds and near black bands, cut at the zenith by shadow squares. This moment captures the novel sense of cosmic awe. The Ringworld fundamentally alters one's perception of space itself, with the horizon curving upward rather than downward, creating the illusion of an infinite arch across the sky. Flying over the Ringworld on fly cycles, the expedition makes a shocking discovery. The natives appear human. This raises profound questions about the relationship between Earth and the Ringworld. Were humans transplanted between the two worlds? Their first contact ends disastrously. In a ruined city, they meet ghost white humanoids who mistake them for returning Ringworld engineers. When Louis demonstrates his flashlight laser, the spokesman becomes outraged, declaring fighting with light forbidden, forcing the team to flee. As they journey onward, they witness evidence of civilization's collapse. Cities lie in ruins, with once floating buildings crashed to the ground after catastrophic power failure. Louis theorizes that without transmutation technology, the Ringworld has no way to mine metals from its artificial structure. With only dirt above impenetrable foundation material, civilization fell and couldn't rise again. This exploration of technological dependency gives Ringworld its philosophical depth, a cautionary tale about what happens when a civilization becomes so reliant on advanced technology that it can no longer maintain it. Stranded on the Ringworld, Louis and his companions discover a potential escape through Hallo Prolara, an ancient crew member who mentions the Tziltang Brone, a device making the Ringworld floor permeable. When no working device is found, Louis devises an alternative plan. He focuses on Fist of God Mountain, an unnaturally tall peak spotted after landing. Louis theorizes it resulted from a meteor impact from below, potentially creating a hole through the Ringworld floor into space. Using strong shadow square wire from their crash, they connect their ship to a captured floating building and ascend the mountain. At the crater's rim, they fall through into space, successfully breaking through the floor. Tethered to the lying bastard, they'll eventually match the Ringworld's rotation and escape. As they depart, Louis realizes how little of this vast structure they've explored. Despite traveling thousands of miles, they've seen less than a fraction of a percent of the Ringworld surface. Ringworld challenges us to build wonders while remembering that all constructions require constant renewal, a monument to achievement, and a warning about fragility when knowledge is lost.